Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this precious story of Ruth, for her life and the phenomenal faith that she is an example to us of. I pray as we dig into her story, would you show us more of yourself? We wouldn't just go away inspired by Ruth, but we'd leave here today even more convinced, even more convicted of the depth of love that you have for each one of us. And so, Holy Spirit, we ask that you would pour the Father's love into each of our hearts this morning. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I absolutely love the story of Ruth. I was very convicted this week. It was just, instead of me standing up here and saying a few reflections, we should just have the whole thing read. We've heard a quarter of the story. I'd love to set you some homework this week. Read the rest of it. Take 10 minutes. That would be one of the best things you'll do all week. It's such a good story. I'd love to carry on, to be able to show you, for you to see how God provides for Naomi and for Ruth as they arrive back in Bethlehem, how Ruth scavenges on the edges of the fields as they arrive at harvest time, how the owner of one of these fields hears about Ruth, sees her beautiful character, and how it just happens to be that he's a family relative who has a responsibility for Naomi and therefore for Ruth. And who's willing to take that on. How Ruth is incredibly courageous and brave and goes and essentially asks him, Boaz, to marry her. It's not how it was normally done. How Boaz does that and does it at considerable cost and goes out of his way. And how this story focuses onto this little baby being held in Naomi's arms. The Lord has provided. And how through that baby, we have this wonderful family tree that leads us to our Savior, Jesus Christ. But what if you had to sum up Ruth in just one word? Maybe we can have a little discussion about this after the service, because you might turn around and go, no, Tom, it's not. That's not the main thing. But I'm more and more convinced that you can sum up the story of Ruth in just one word. Love. Love. Ruth is a love story. Except the moment I say that, because of what we think and our culture around us says love is, we're thinking roses are red, violets are blue, let's get together and make our dreams come true. Blech. Or some of you are going, oh, that's really sweet. I'll put that in my next anniversary card or something. Because the love that Ruth is all about is so much deeper and so much bigger than that. Imagine love to be a swimming pool. The soppy end of love's the shallow end. The love that we see in the story of Ruth is the deep end. Because ultimately, it's not a love story, you know, it's not like a Jane Austen novel, you know, about the love story between Ruth and Boaz. That's part of it. But actually, it's about Ruth's love for Naomi and ultimately God's love for his people. We're going to dive into the deep end, and I was slightly reluctant to kind of sum Ruth up with that one word, love, because it just feels like it doesn't do it justice. And actually, there's a Hebrew word, and I'm always wary of preachers who kind of go, well, you're actually fine in the Greek, it means this, because half of you go, well, I can't read Greek, how do I know that? So we'll go to Hebrew instead, and I'm even worse at Hebrew. I used to get 1 out of 20 in my Hebrew tests, and still my Hebrew teacher used to put really kind words at the end to spur me on. But I want after shalom, this is probably the second Hebrew word you may have heard of, hesed. Hesed. It means love, except it means more than that. We struggle for words to kind of grasp it. It means unfailing love. It means faithful love. It means steadfast love. It means loyal love. It means kindness. And again, we're like, oh, but kind, just, you know, just be kind. It's deeper than that. In fact, that's how our Bibles translate the word. In fact, if you look at Ruth 1 verse 8, you'll see the word come up twice. Naomi saying to her daughters-in-law, go back each of you to your mother's home. May the Lord show you kindness. May the Lord show you hesed. as you have shown kindness, hesed, to your dead husbands and to me. Ruth is all about love. Ruth is all about hesed. And actually, there is a love poem in Ruth. It doesn't begin roses are red, violets are blue. It's in verse 14. Is it? I don't mean 14, do I? 16, halfway through. Ruth replies, don't urge me to leave you or turn back from you. Then this poem. Where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people. Your God, my God. Where you die, I will die. And there I will be buried. It's a breathtaking poem. In fact, it takes Naomi's breath away. When she hears it, verse 18, when Naomi realized Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped urging her. She was silent. If you want a proper love poem, that's it. Those words still echo and make an impact today. Because in this poem, Ruth is essentially saying the roses aren't red. And the violets aren't blue. Life is bitter. But Naomi, I'll stick with you. This is the deep end of love. This is hesed love. And there's a couple of features of hesed love that I just want to draw your attention to this morning. They've been incredibly, incredibly precious to me this week. And if that's all it needs to have been for me this week, then great, you're just listening in. But I'm hoping there'll be helps for you as well. Hesed love involves choice. You see, if we just stay at the shallow end of love, then our idea of love is all wrapped up with our feelings, how we feel. I love you because that's what I feel inside. I had a friend I used to work with quite more years than I'm ready to admit ago, straight after school. He was called Ben, except to us he was known as Sticky. Why was he known as Sticky? Well, it was nothing to do with his personal hygiene. It was all to do with his enthusiasm. He was very enthusiastic about his hobbies. And they would change regularly. Kayaking, rock climbing, tennis, fishing, mountain walking, knitting. Every week it was a new hobby. And when he was sort of not feeling it anymore, he'd lay it aside and pick up the next thing. So he was very enthusiastic, but he had no sticking power. Hence why he was known as Sticky. And now that might be fine when it comes to your hobbies, but what about when it involves other people? Ruth had joined Naomi's family by marriage. It meant that Ruth's loyalty, if you like, had moved from her birth family to Naomi's family. That was the place, that was home, that's where she belonged. And for this family, everything that could possibly go wrong went wrong. This is like Job round two. Naomi knows that for Ruth, for her life to continue to be tied up with her, offered her nothing. Naomi's life essentially was over. Go back. Go back. Return. Naomi says to Ruth and to Orpah, that's the choice, Ruth, you need to make. So what does Ruth do? Well, in verse 14, at this command to return, because Naomi's saying, the Lord's hand has turned against me. They weep aloud again. They know the impact of this. Then Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye. Orpah takes that choice and goes. But look what Ruth does. Ruth clung to Naomi. Hesed love is a choice, and it's a choice to stick with someone. It's not to say we ignore how we feel. Our feelings matter, but it says our feelings are not the thing that drives the car. Our decisions and our choices are. I have a great privilege as a vicar is marrying people. Not everybody gets married. It's a gift for some people, not everyone. But when I have a couple here, before they get married, I have to remind them that when I ask them whether they're going to commit to each other, they don't say, I do. Because it's not about just how they feel in this moment. They don't know what they say to each other. I will. It's a promise. It's saying, I love you now and I will choose to love you in the future. It's to mark marriage, but that kind of love is to mark all our relationships in different ways. We often talk about random acts of kindness. Hesed love is not about random acts. It's about deliberate choices. It's about deliberate choices when the person you're seeking to love isn't easy to love. And I don't know about you, but I'm not always easy to love. I need people to choose to love me. Just think how it would have been for Ruth. At the end of the story, they're walking back into Bethlehem. Can this be Naomi? And Naomi says, don't call me Naomi. Call me Mara. My life is bitter. The Lord has brought me back empty. I have nothing. Can you imagine being in Ruth's shoes following Naomi going, I've committed everything for you, Naomi, and it's as if I don't exist. And in that moment, she chooses to love Naomi. She doesn't jump up and down and say, hello, I'm here. You're not empty. She just walks with her. Hesed love is about choice. It clings on sometimes through choice. Hesed love is, second of all, sacrificial. It's really sacrificial. Ruth's choice to stick with Naomi is ultimately hugely costly for Ruth. And Naomi says to both her daughters-in-law, if you want to have hope in life now, because my husband's died, your husbands have died, at this time in history and this culture, there's no men, there's no hope. We live in a different time, a different world. But there are still cultures around us where that would be the case. For Ruth, to have hope in life was to get a husband, to have a child, to have a son. And sticking with Naomi meant that it's just not possible. Now look at verse 9. Naomi says, may the Lord grant each of you that you will find rest in the home of another husband. That's the hope, isn't it? When Ruth doesn't look like she's going to go, Naomi kind of gets the logic out, doesn't she? Verse 11, return home, my daughters. Why would you come with me? Am I going to have any more sons who could become your husbands? Return home, my daughters. I'm too old to have another husband. Even if, okay, just think of the unlikely probabilities. Even if I thought there was still hope for me, even if I had a husband tonight, they got married. She got married tonight, conceived that very night. Are you going to wait for that child to grow up to marry them? No, it's impossible. It's a biological impossibility. And so do you see what Ruth is doing when she commits herself by choice to love Naomi? She's saying, I am giving up that hope I might have in a husband and sons so that I can be with you. For Naomi to have comfort and companionship and food, Ruth has to give up her friends, her family, her future. It's big. Ruth arrives in Bethlehem. Vulnerable. And notice, she's not part of God's people, is she? Well, not yet anyway. She's a Moabitess. She doesn't belong round here. She's doubly vulnerable. You see, to say yes in our choices to love others means we have to say no to other things. Love by nature limits us. If we think we can love and have it all, we've not understood it. Love by nature limits us. It's costly. It's sacrificial. We might give up good things, things we might enjoy, things we might love to do, things we might love to have. Hesed love says, I will pay that cost and I will do so willingly. I will squash down and give up for you. Hesed love is a choice. It's sacrificial. And thirdly, it reflects God's love. Because I've talked a lot about Ruth showing love to Naomi, but that's not the whole story, is it? Ruth shows Hesed love to Naomi because it flows out from her love and commitment to God. If you look at Ruth's poem again, in verse 16, right in the middle of it, who's there? God is. Your God will be my God. And this isn't just Ruth sort of saying, well, Naomi, I'm so committed to you, I'll kind of take on everything with you, and then when you die, I'll just go back to the way things used to be. No, because Ruth talks about staying and being buried in Naomi's land after Naomi has died. Why would Ruth do that if her commitment was only to Naomi? Ruth is not just making a commitment to Naomi, she's making a commitment to Naomi's God, the God of Israel, the God of the Bible, the God we encounter in Jesus Christ. Ruth, a Moabitess from outside of God's people, is making a confession of faith and stepping in and being counted as one who belongs to the Lord. Why would she do that? Why would she completely take that step of faith away from her old way of life into a new way of life? Can I suggest it's because she came to know and experience God's hesed love for herself. She discovered that the God of the Bible is a God of hesed love. You see, God tells us again and again, doesn't he, what he's like. And in the Old Testament, there's this refrain that crops up again and again. The Lord is gracious and compassionate. He's slow to anger and he's abounding in love, loyal love, steadfast love, hesed, and faithfulness. We know exactly what God is like because he's shown us in Jesus. If you want to know what hesed love is like, you come to Jesus. God choosing to come to us in Jesus. He made that deliberate choice. When we were far off, he came to find us. When we're not lovable, the Lord continues to love us. He chooses to love us. He keeps going with us. One of our marks as a people is we've been chosen not because of the things we have done, but because of God's incredible hesed love. It's sacrificial. Jesus sacrificed everything for us. He laid down more than any of us ever could imagine, so that you and I could be included, forgiven and free. It says in Titus, it's one of the first, it's probably the second set of verses I tried to stick in my memory. And so it's sort of there. I trip over some of the words. It goes something like this in Titus 3. When the kindness and love sounds familiar. When the kindness and love of God, our Savior, appeared, he saved us. Not because of the righteous things that we've done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing and rebirth and renewal through the Holy Spirit, who he's poured out to each of us generously through Jesus Christ, our Savior, so that, having been justified by his grace, we might have the hope of eternal life. We have a God of kindness and love. We love, as John puts it in his first letter, very simply, we love because he first loved us. Because the Holy Spirit has poured that hesed love into us, into our lives, so we can pour it out to others. How did Ruth come to know and experience the Lord's hesed love? How? Isn't it through Naomi's family? Which is a great surprise, because Naomi's family are not painted in a great light. They leave the land because there's famine. This is in the time of Judges. It's a dark time. And where do they go? They go away from where God's presence is to a foreign land. They go just for a little while and they end up staying there for years. And yet this family showed Ruth the Lord's hesed love. Just imagine the stories that Ruth would have heard. Those promises spoken of. Discovered in the life of Naomi's family. Around, conversations around the table. The celebrations during the year, through their rhythm of life, through their behavior. Friends, how are others like Ruth going to come and know and experience the Lord's hesed love for themselves? Can I suggest that it's going to be through your lives, through my life, and through our life together? Through us telling the stories of God's hesed love shown to us in Jesus. Happens in our conversations. It happens in our celebrations. It happens in our behaviors. It happens in our rhythm of life. What really hit home for me this week in the story of Ruth is that Ruth's hesed love was actually the Lord's hesed love for Naomi. Can't have been easy for Ruth. Naomi's bitterness. Yet every time Naomi claims this, the Lord has turned against me, he is bitter to me, he shows kindness to her through Ruth. See, Ruth is the one who helps Naomi rediscover the Lord's hesed love again. And it just made me wonder this week, who are the people around you who are feeling most broken, most bitter because of life? You feel most like God is against that. And can I suggest they're the very people today, because we know the Lord's hesed love for ourselves and Jesus, that we choose to love. We lay down our lives to love, longing that they too might know the Lord's hesed love. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you are a God of abounding love, not just a little bit, but abounding. That your love is a choice. You have chosen to love us, though we don't deserve it. And you, in Jesus, sacrificed everything. Please, would you help us to see the life of Ruth and to know that in our circumstances, our situations, with the people you've put in our lives, we have that opportunity to love people out of choice, to lay down our lives again and again and again for them. And Lord, we ask that it might be what you use to reveal your hesed love to others, or help others rediscover it again. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.